Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 24, Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation, Text 48. Yat Sevayagne Eva Rudra Rodanam Puman Vijayan Malam Atmanas Tama Bajeta Varna Nijam Esha So Vyayo Buyat Sa Isha Paramo Guru Guru Yat Seva Yagnir Eva Rudra Rodanam. Puman Vijayan Malam Atmanas Tama Bhajeta Varnam Nijam Esha Sovya Yo Bhuyat Sa Isha Paramo Gurur Guru Yat Seva Yagnir Eva Rudra Rodanam Puman Vijaya Malam Atmanas Tama Bajeta Varnam Nijam Esha Sovya Yo Bhuyat Sa Isha Paramo Gurur Guru Yat Seva Yagnir Eva Rudra Rodanam Puman Vijayan Malam Atmanas Tama Bajeta Varnam Nijam Esha Sovya Yo Bhuyat Sa Isha Paramo Gurur Guru Vaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. By serving whom? Agne. In touch with fire. Eva. As it is. Rudra Rodanam. A block of silver or gold becomes purified. Puman. A person. Vijayat. Can give up. Malam. All the dirty things of material existence. Atmana. Of oneself. Tama. the mode of ignorance, by which one performs pious and impious activities. Bhajeta may revive Varnam, his original identity. Nijam, one's own. Esha, such. Sa, he. Avyaya, inexhaustible. Bhuyat, let him become. Sa, he. Isha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parama. The Supreme. Guru. The Spiritual Master of all other Spiritual Masters. Translation. One who wants to be free of material entanglement should take to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give up the contamination of ignorance involving pious and impious activities. Thus, one regains his original identity, just as a block of gold or silver sheds all dirt and becomes purified when treated with fire. May that inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead become our spiritual master, for he is the original spiritual master of all other spiritual masters. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In human life, one is meant to undergo austerity to purify one's existence. Tapo devyam putrika yena sattvam shudyet. Because of contamination by the modes of material nature, one continues in the cycle of birth and death. Karanam gunasangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. Therefore the purpose of human life is to purify oneself of this contamination, so that one can regain his spiritual form and not undergo this cycle of birth and death. The recommended process of decontamination is devotional service to the Lord. There are various processes for self-realization, such as karma, jnana, and yoga, but none of them is equal to the process of devotional service. As gold and silver can be freed from all dirty contamination by being put into a fire, but not merely by being washed. The living entity can be awakened to his own identity by performing devotional service, yat sevaya, but not by karma, jnana, or yoga. Cultivation of speculative knowledge or practice of yogic gymnastics will not be helpful. The word varnam refers to the luster of one's original identity. The original luster of gold or silver is brilliant. Similarly, the original luster of the living being, who is part of the Satchitananda Vigraha, is the luster of Ananda, or pleasure. Ananda Mayobhyasat. Every living entity has the right to become Ananda Maya, joyful, because he is part of the Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Krishna. Why should the living being be put into tribulation because of dirty contamination by the material modes of nature? The living entity should become purified and regain his swarup, his original identity. This he can do only by devotional service. Therefore, one should adopt the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described here as Guru, the spiritual master of all other spiritual masters. Even though we may not have the fortune to contact the Supreme Lord personally, the Lord's representative is as good as the Lord himself, because such a representative does not say anything unless it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore gives a definition of Guru: Yare Deka Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. The bona fide Guru is he who advises his disciples exactly in accordance with the principles spoken by Krishna. The bona fide Guru is he who has accepted Krishna as Guru. This is the Guru Parampara system. The original Guru is Vyasadeva, because he is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein everything spoken relates to Krishna. Therefore, Guru Puja is known as Vyasa Puja. In the final analysis, the original Guru is Krishna. His disciple is Narada, whose disciple is Vyas. And in this way, we gradually come in touch with the Guru Parampara. One cannot become a Guru if he does not know what the personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his incarnation wants. The mission of the Guru is the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Yasevi Agner Iva Rudra Rodanam Puman Vijahyan Malamatmanas Tama Vijetavaranam Nijam Esha Sokya Yo Buyatsa Isha Paramo Guru Guru. One who wants to be free of material entanglement should take to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give up the contamination of ignorance involving pious and impious activities. Thus, one regains his original identity, just as a block of gold or silver sheds all dirt and becomes purified when treated with fire. May that inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead become our spiritual master, for he is the original spiritual master of all other spiritual masters. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Bastyachyade Jatarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapatribhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Yes, so the process is to engage in devotional service in order to get out of the problematic situations which have been mentioned the last couple of days, to this problematic situation of thinking that the purpose of life and what I must really do and just focus on is getting happiness out of material sense gratification, material activity. That's a problem. And then another problem, although it's certainly connected and in a sense there the same problem, is ignorance. Ignorance ultimately of our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are two very serious problems which just make life impossible for the conditioned souls. And we have to understand all this. Just like yesterday, we were focusing on the idea that we should understand, everyone should understand, but particularly devotees should really understand that you can't actually become happy through material activity. And even a step further, not only can you not become happy in that way, but by trying for that sort of happiness, you increase your unhappiness. And who is the person who wants to increase their unhappiness? Only some very confused person. I was once in a place called Riga in Latvia. And during the Sunday program, I asked what I thought was simply a rhetorical question, that, you know, material world's full of suffering. So the question was, so who would like to stay in this material world and suffer? You know, it's meant to be a rhetorical question where the answer is so obvious that you're not actually looking for an answer. But this one man jumped up and put his hand up and said, I'll stay here. I'll stay here and suffer. But he was a little, you know, otherwise. So, yes, but otherwise, who would want to? No one, surely no one would want to. But because of ignorance, the conditioned souls are determined to. And just, that's their lives. Their lives are simply composed of different activities performed in ignorance for achieving material happiness, but which actually lead to increased suffering. In their ignorance, they're not aware. So yesterday we were saying particularly that everyone should understand this point and then change their lives accordingly. But particularly the devotees should understand this. And the devotees should particularly live like this, because this is just a foundational principle in our lives, just a foundational part of our reality. What could be more basic? Hardly anything than this material world is a place of suffering. This material world is not our home. We should not stay in this material world. What could be more foundational than these types of ideas? So, yes, we must get the idea, but in order to hold on to the idea, then we need a process for really developing the idea from the simply intellectual level up to the level of realization, practical, adopting it in one's life, and in that way, seeing and feeling. Seeing how this material world is just not a nice place at all, and actually feeling how Krishna consciousness is much better and is indeed the real solution and the real situation. So we need a process to help crystallize it all, to get from just the mental or intellectual level up to the level of practical reality, and practical reality in the sense of application. And that process is devotional service. In the verse, Maharaj Satyavrata gives an interesting example. The example is of purifying a block of gold or silver through treating it with fire. You can take some gold or silver, Prabhupada explains in the purport. You can take some gold or silver and wash it, but it will not be in its really pure state. In its pure state, it is effulgent and rich. It's amazing. It has a natural glow and effulgence of its own, which comes out under heat. But as soon as you cool it down, then it doesn't look the same. It may look okay, but it doesn't look like that. That is really something. When you see molten gold, it's really amazing. So similarly, the soul, the living entity, ourselves, in order to actually become purified to that point where our real nature is manifest and fully manifest in all its glory. Well, just simply intellectualism is not going to be sufficient. Just a philosophical understanding, oh yes, I'm like this, this is what I am, will not be sufficient to bring out the glory of the soul. And Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that, yes, the original luster of the living being who is part of the Satchit Ananda Vigraha is the luster of Ananda or pleasure. In other words, the living entity engaged in pure devotional service wholeheartedly, and his or her eternal nature manifest and being situated in their eternal relationship with Krishna, they glow with ananda, with pleasure. And not just pleasure in the sense of as people enjoy in this world. They say the face is the index of the mind. You meet a person in the street, someone you know, and if they are really depressed and down and life is just too bad, then you may be able to see it in their face. Sometimes you can, quite clearly. And of course, when people are happy, then, well, you can see that very clearly. So, in a similar type of way, but even much more, then just as gold or silver, they glow, they have their own effulgence when they're in that molten condition being treated with fire. So similarly, the living entity being treated by the process of devotional service, and in that way situated in their pure spiritual condition in their relationship with Krishna, they glow. They're just in an effulgent, wonderful condition. And Prabhupada was like that. Even though he was an old man, physically. And as people get old, everything gets run down. And, you know, even if you see, shall we say, Miss World, you know, like Miss World of 1950. In those days, if you see a photo, she may look relatively nice, but you see her today in 2013, well, maybe she'll be dead actually, but if not, she'll be 80, 85, 90. And when people get to that age, it's really hard for them to look nice and that sort of richness of happiness. But Prabhupada, because he's completely pure transcendental person, he glowed. There's a famous story of Prabhupada when he attended a Rath Yatra in New York. They're waiting for the procession to begin, and Prabhupada had arrived and he was waiting, and there were some policemen there to help sort of like marshal the procession and so on. And American policemen, particularly New York policemen, they are more like real policemen. You don't really get real policemen much in South Africa. Anyway. But these are big, tough, and really heavy guys, ready just to take action. Oh yeah, just looking for action. And there are these two of them, and they saw Prabhupada, or one of them saw Prabhupada, and he turned to his friend and said, "Hey, look at that guy, he's glowing." That was Prabhupada. So yes, interesting. So we need that process in order to crystallize things and make it real. We use the term realize, which, you know, it may be slightly contrived perhaps, or maybe not, I don't know. But realize, if you break it into its etymological components, the idea is real eyes. It becomes real. Yeah, you realize it. And it's no longer just some, like a concept, an idea or something, which may be somewhat intangible or slightly esoteric or something like that. Not at all. Realize means it's solid. It's real. So in Krishna consciousness, we distinguish between gyan and vigyan. Gyan means that you could say book knowledge. It's just ideas, it's theoretical. Even though it may sound nice and be quite convincing and intellectually really seem to have value and substance, but still, it's book knowledge. And so there's a big difference between that and actually seeing it objectively. There it is. Like, you know, the last few weeks we have traveled from cold climate to a moderate climate to a quite, or not really hot, but really quite warm climate. And now we've come here, which is sort of, you know, warm, mild, not really warm, but, you know, a little. And you can talk about these things. You know, you talk to people who are not used to hot weather, and they say, "Oh, it's hot today." And then you go out and you feel, well, it's not really very hot. Depends what you call hot. So people may talk about how the weather is today, whether it's hot, cold, or whatever, humid. But when you step outside into it, then it's tangible. then it's an objective reality. So there's a difference between Gyan and Vigyan, book knowledge and realized knowledge. And to sort of cross the gap from one to the other, well, you need a process. And the process is not just drumming it into your head more until, you know, it just sort of, so your understanding becomes stronger. No, to realize, or vigyan, realized knowledge, means you are in it. It is tangible. You are experiencing it objectively as reality. Realize. Yeah. And so, in this case, there are the intellectual, philosophical aspects, as we were discussing yesterday, how at least devotees should know, they must know, that in material life there's no real happiness. They must know. They should know. Because after all, we preach about it. No one to speak of reading about it, hearing about it. We tell people that. So therefore, because, you know, the idea, it's so much part of the everyday currency of Krishna consciousness, you could say, just so much part of the world of Krishna consciousness, that you would expect or hope that devotees, it would be so clear that they would never contemplate it, some material activity. They never contemplate it. And what to speak of actually going and doing it, you would hope, and certainly they should not. But sometimes these things happen. Sometimes these things happen. Devotees start contemplating material activity, sense gratification, be it illicit sex life, or some of my favorite music from the old days, or, you know, whatever it may be. These different types of material attractions. Sometimes it happens. In other words, even though we should have come to that point where it's so solid, it's just part of our practical reality, but we haven't quite crossed the bridge. We're still sort of on the bridge somewhere, you know, moving, but moving backwards sometimes. So how to cross the bridge and actually get on the other side, where everything is real. I mean, everything Krishna conscious is real, and the unreality of material existence is just also totally real. Well, the process is devotional service. Of course, reading the books, knowledge in that sense, and hearing the classes and having discussions and so on, of the philosophy is part of the process, but not the process in and of themselves alone. No. You need to engage the senses. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Swayam Eva Spirachida. That actually the holy name of Krishna, and Krishna in all his different aspects, na bhaved grahyam indriyai, they're not perceived conceivable by the ordinary senses that Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam
Ki
Jai. But Sevan Mukhehi Jivadu, if we engage those same senses in Seva, Sevan Mukhehi Jiva Ado, beginning with the tongue, then Swayam Eva Spuratyada. Swayam means directly, the very thing, not just an idea of the thing, but the actual thing. Swayam Eva Spuratyada, the form will manifest directly, and your senses will perceive Krishna directly. Of course, even though we're in the neophyte stage very much, still we are getting some experience. Not complete, but some. For example, we are chanting Hare Krishna every day, hopefully. And we are chanting, hopefully, minimum 16 rounds every day. And if you are not getting some transcendental experience from that, you will not be able to do it every day for 2 or 3 hours every day. It will not be possible because the mind is very powerful. And if you're doing something which the mind is not getting something out of, your mind will not allow you to continue. Yes, the mind will stop you from continuing and get you to do something else. This is the nature of the mind. The mind is driven by taste, experience, how it feels. The mind is driven like this. So just the fact, simply the fact that one is able to chant every day for some hours and hopefully feel, this is nice. Maybe not yet, that this is just amazing, incredible, fantastic, and you know, even though I wanted to stop, I couldn't stop. Not quite that level, but at least, yeah, it's good, okay, it's nice, not bad, I like it. When I get a chance, I'll chant some more. So, some experiences there. Swayam Eva Spuratyada, that one will get some, the reality of it directly will manifest as such. Spuratya, spurti is an interesting sort of phenomenon in very advanced Krishna consciousness, that the very advanced, and I don't mean us or any of us devotees, as they're moving around here and there, they see Krishna sometimes. It may only be like a little glimmer or something. Oh, what was that? Was that Krishna? So this is called spurti, a type of somewhat subtle manifestation of Krishna. It's understood, well, it's explained, that when Krishna left Vrindavan and all the devotees were in separation, but they would still see Krishna sometimes, or think they saw Krishna, or sort of catch a glimpse, you know, but then was that Krishna? So Krishna was there in this form called spurti, which of course any manifestation of Krishna is real, but somewhat subtle at the same time. Not just Krishna walking up to you and just like that. Yes, yeah, so Swayameva Spuratyada. Even though Atakshi Krishna Nama Adi, although Krishna and his different features, Nama Adi, beginning with his name, they are Na Bhaved. They're not experienceable, Grahyam Indriyai, by the worldly senses. Because just by definition, Krishna's transcendental. He's not material, he's spiritual. And spirit sort of begins where matter ends. So, yes, but still if we engage the senses, then gradually realization comes. So we've also got some realization. Let us at least give some credit where credit is due. Not really to ourselves, but to the process. That because we are sort of hanging in there and carrying on, we're getting some experience. Otherwise, we wouldn't continue. We couldn't continue. So this is the process. And if we keep following the process, then gradually it becomes more and more real or manifest. The reality becomes more and more manifest. Why? Why is it so nice to chant Hare Krishna? Why? Because Krishna is present in his names. And when we chant his names, we are contacting him. Although at this point we're not actually seeing, you know, Krishna, oh there he is. In the name, but he is there. And the examples given by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction that the conditioned souls, the holy name of Krishna is sweet like sugar candy, but when one has the disease of ignorance, avidya, then, just like when a person has the disease of jaundice and sweet things taste sour or bitter due to the nature of the disease and how it affects the physical condition, so similarly when we have that disease of ignorance, avidya, then even though the holy name of Krishna is sweet like sugar candy, but we experience it to be bitter. And therefore we don't want to chant it. And even you see people who are really material, really like staunchly demoniac, you tell them to chant Hare Krishna, they will not do it. And even some of them will not be able to do it. So, yes. So, when one has that disease, jaundice, sugar tastes bitter to the point of just being like, just worthy of rejection. But the medicine for jaundice is to take sugar. And you know that you're becoming cured, you know, slowly, step by step, because the bitterness starts reducing, and little bit of sweetness starts coming, and then you know it's bitterness decreases, sweetness increases, until gradually it's completely sweet, because now the physical body, including the senses, have been cured altogether. So we, at this point in our Krishna consciousness, through chanting and practicing, we're getting some experience. Otherwise, it wouldn't be possible to continue. Not much experience compared to what is there to be experienced, but better than nothing. Better than nothing. So if we continue on engaging our senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha, Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam, then gradually the realization will come. And then you'll never have to tell yourself, you know, don't think about this or that, or that sort of idea. You'll just have no interest. You'll just have no interest. But just completely attracted to Krishna. So, Prabhupada makes the point. Why should we have to go through material existence? For what good reason? There's no good reason. It's simply worthy of rejection. But, unfortunately, we need that purification. Yeah, otherwise, just to say, you know, why should I suffer like this? It won't actually help us get out of the suffering condition. So then, in the verse, as in the other verses, Maharaj Satyavrata has made the point that you, my Lord, he's speaking to Matsya, a form of Krishna, you are Paramo Guror Guru. You're the supreme guru of all gurus. In fact, you are the guru of all gurus. You're the ultimate guru. And of course, in order to practice devotional service effectively and really on an ongoing basis, and to come to the point of completion, one certainly needs the shelter, the guidance, and the mercy of bona fide guru. So, in the purport here at the end, Prabhupada's making the point that we may not, Satyavrata, he was there, the Lord was there. He could see him, he could touch him, he could speak with him, and the Lord could speak to him. We may not have that sort of contact with the Lord. But if we do have contact with someone who is actually a bona fide guru, in the real sense of the term, then our position is as advantageous as Maharaj Satyavrata, who's directly with the Lord and able to converse with him. Yes, this is the wonder of Krishna consciousness and the glory of Krishna consciousness, that the same benefit which Arjuna got through hearing from Krishna face to face on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, exactly the same benefit, not less, is available to us today on December, what is it, the 27th, 2013, in Rondebosch, Cape Town, corner of Teddington Road. And what's the main road? St. Andrews. It's available. No less. This is not just like, you know, well, we couldn't get the best thing, but we got something. Oh, it'll do. No, it's not. Some people say like that. Oh, if only I could meet Krishna. Oh, if only Krishna would appear. Then things would be put right. But no, the same opportunity, the same facility is here today through the association of devotees, and particularly ultimately the spiritual master, but actually in a general sense through the association of sincere devotees. This is parampara. This is the system of disciplic succession. And Prabhupada mentions here, Lord Chaitanya gives a definition of guru. Who's a guru? What's a guru? Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Which actually literally means a person who wherever he goes, whoever he meets, tells them about Krishna. Prabhupada sort of paraphrases, the bona fide guru is he who advises his disciples exactly in accordance with the principles spoken by Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, surrender to me. The bona fide guru, the bona fide devotee says, surrender to Krishna, not surrender to me, but surrender to Krishna. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya says, chant Hare Krishna. The bona fide guru, the bona fide devotee says, chant Hare Krishna. So there's that oneness in instruction. Yeah. So through those bona fide instructions coming from Krishna and received through disciplic succession, and then through being given guidance how to apply those instructions in terms of one's own personal situation and personal nature, then any person who wants to can perfect their lives and go back to Godhead. Yes. So this is what we're here for in Krishna consciousness. Our mission is to be or become Krishna conscious and to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. And in that way, after some time, one morning we will wake up and we will be in Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna and the other devotees. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes. Yes. Yes.
Thank you for the lovely class. I was just wondering, I was thinking about the gold and the silver and treating the fire.
Right.
So I was wondering if you had any tips for us to keep fire up in the working circle.
Yeah. Get up early every morning, follow the morning program, then have nice prasadam and go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. That's a good tip. Don't mind me saying it myself, but it's a really good tip actually. But otherwise, you know, if you're looking for something more like a little more subtle and not like plainly obvious, well, keep in good association and be good association. And whatever association you're in, be good association. Yeah. And really study Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully and try to appreciate them. Like an interesting point I should have mentioned, I was thinking of mentioning but I forgot, is that in that verse, in the verse, Satyavrata says, and in the purport Prabhupada says, that if you engage in the service of the Lord and give up all the ignorance, thus one regains his original identity. In other words, Prabhupada's making it clear. And in the purport, Prabhupada says the same thing. Therefore, the purpose of human life is to purify oneself of this contamination so that one can regain his spiritual form. Regain. You can only regain something which you had. And yeah, you can only regain some sort of original thing of yours if it was originally yours. So try and consider this point, that actually you, all of us, we, including you, you are actually the eternal servant of Krishna. You are actually. And now by his mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, the mercy of all the devotees, and the mercy of Prabhupada's movement, ISKCON, you have got the full opportunity to just regain your original spiritual position, which is so much happier, you know, even than whatever's the greatest happiness you ever experienced so far. But it's so much greater than even that. Here we're talking about little baby steps, little drops from the ocean. So try and meditate on that. Yeah. And if you want another hint, which isn't really a hint, Lord Chaitanya says, Trinada pi sunichena tarori vasahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. Always be very humble. Lord Chaitanya said, wear that verse around your neck like a necklace. In other words, never get separated from that. Is that okay? Yes.
You're talking about when you're chanting, the mind is driven by taste, so you're seeing it with it. But I remember reading Prabhupada's also how we have to become detached from the mind. So how do you understand that?
Well, you become attached to the mind as you become, I mean detached from the mind, meaning its whims to do, you know, think of this or do that, as opposed to doing what you're meant to do. You can become detached from the mind by pushing on with your Krishna consciousness. Even though sometimes your mind tells you, no, you know, I don't want to chant any longer. The fact that we are able to do, like we said, keep chanting, means we're getting some taste. But still sometimes the mind really thinks that it's had enough. But then we should persevere. Or as Prabhupada said, If you become tired of chanting, take some prasadam. If you've taken enough prasadam, read a book. If you read enough, do some service. And now you've done some service, do some more chanting. Keep engaged. But the thing is, you know, so sometimes the mind rebels, you know, maybe often. It depends. You know, day by day, it's sort of the mind goes through different phases. But if we do persevere, despite the challenges the mind presents sometimes, gradually what will happen is the mind will really develop a taste for it. Or the mind will it will click in the mind, hey, actually, this chanting is really good. And then your mind will tell you, chant. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, your mind can be your enemy or your friend. So as you progress, the mind will, not that it'll always be, But more, it'll become your friend and be agreeable to engage in Krishna consciousness. And that's good. Because it's not that when we're in a pure state of Krishna consciousness that we will have no mind. We will definitely have a spiritual mind. And we'll be thinking about this and thinking about that in Krishna consciousness. So it's not like exactly like you can just switch your mind off. But at least you should stop it from diverging from Krishna consciousness and keep it focused as much as you can in Krishna consciousness. And when it comes up with some silly idea, well, then you should be detached. Srila Prabhupada ki. All the devotees keep.